Bowser with a huge lead at first. Trail runner. Drive to left field and hit deep. Colabello back. Off the warning track. Here comes Hicks. Here comes Dozier. Hunter has put the Twins in front.
Yeah, you know, I think we're on the right track. I think we're actually doing something that is surprising all of us. At the same time, we're having fun because it seems like the return, as Ben Holson would say, and he's not here to say it, but he would say, this is fun, like the old piranhas, the old Ozzie Guillen reference to piranhas. We're playing piranha baseball again. And it just makes it fun for everybody, and we'll talk about that. But my name, Superstar Mike Morris. Everyone know that. Don't mess it up. Okay, you can mess it up. Don't worry about it. And then we have over here, right to my left, we have Brian Murphy, Pioneer Press, and legendary writer for the Twins, for the Minnesota Vikings, right? And for anyone else,
whoever will pay,
and covering the Olympics like a blanket.
Wow, you brought me back to Sochi.
Yeah, I did.
It's like going back to spring break.
Indeed. And we also have Sam Ekstrom. You know him from Cold Omaha and the Wake Up Call and all different kinds of things. We all make up Radioactive Sports this afternoon. Ben Holson out for a couple days, so get used to us. That's the way it is.
Big shoes to fill today.
Oh, hey now.
Huge.
Big.
I just want to keep the chains moving. I don't want to do anything more than I have to.
Move
just
the chains.
Take what the defense gives me.
Move the chains and just
take what
just,
take what the callers and the board give me.
Exactly. Well, take this one and run with it. The Twins. Who would have thought? Who would have thought they were going to do this? And that's Toronto, granted. But they've got the best record in the AL.
And it's
your Minnesota Twins.
And the way they're doing it.
Yeah.
No real definitive superstar kind of performances. Kind of, as you mentioned, a little bit of a piranha approach. You know, everybody chipping in, everybody getting the job done. A rotation that's just stabilized enough. Exciting to watch professional baseball, which we haven't seen in a while.
It's been fun. This has been fun. Sam, I know you follow it. You got a nice article or two from time to time at Cold Omaha regarding the Twins and the way they're doing this.
It's funny because the Twins don't do a lot of things all that well. They don't hit a lot of home runs. They don't steal a lot of bases. They don't strike anybody out. And they don't have any players really hitting over 300. But here they are. They are leading the American League Central, a division that nobody projected them to even be close to contending in. People thought this was one of the toughest divisions in baseball. And here they are, atop the AL. If the playoffs started today, they'd be a number one seed.
It's hard to say. It really is. 1-6 to start the season.
The road through the World Series goes through Target Field, at least on June 1st.
If they were to start tomorrow, they don't. Then they would probably they would love that seating. But this is a great story, though. So we're going to keep you posted on that. We'll get into that a lot on today's show as we move down the playlist. Mike Berardino. We'll have a chat with Mike Berardino. He's in Boston today. Are they going to play today or not? Or has it been rained out?
It has been.
Monsoons in the Northeast.
So it's coming down, cats and dogs. And so Mike Berardino will be available if we can catch him between his lobster and clam chowder. Chowder. As they would say out there.
Hanging on a bar stool with Norm and Cliff.
That's true.
At the Cask and Flagon across the street from Fenway.
I've been there.
I mean, on a rainy day when you have nothing to do.
Why not?
Yeah.
Big bowl of soup and just sit there.
Big bowl of chowder.
Cape Cod. Why not? I've been there. I played for the Patriots for a year.
What's Foxborough, though?
Foxborough.
I mean, that's just
different.
Anywhere hills. I mean, that's not Boston, really. That's just a turnpike and some pine trees.
Yeah, yeah. You're just out there in the boonies. Big suburb. It was a big suburb, but Doc and Nellie's out there. Steve Grogan lived out there. Mosi Tatupu. You remember that name?
It was one of the first Samoans, was he not?
He was a big-time fullback, a big, big, tough guy. His son played for the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, I remember Grogan, of course.
Steve Grogan, who could forget
John Hanna, the big tackle?
Hog Hanna from Alabama, and one of the maybe the finest left guard. Maybe he and Randall McDaniel would tie for best left guard ever in this game, in the game of football.
Vikings may have a new left guard. We may talk about that at some point today.
It was a smooth segue.
That was nice. That was nicely done. Silky indeed. And that is a concern for this team, because with Teddy Bridgewater coming back into his sophomore year, finding a way to win with the cards that he was dealt last year, which I still don't know how he did it. But Teddy, becoming a leader, second year, you got to protect for him. We're going to talk both about the left guard situation today and Teddy Bridgewater in the next segment regarding the leadership role and some of the things that he's had to do just to keep this progression alive. He was a rookie last year and he knew it. He knew his place. Now it's become a whole different game. The veterans know and recognize him as a leader and as their quarterback. Brian Murphy has spent some time both in California with Teddy Bridgewater and some receivers, and running back McKinnon was out there as well.
Derek McKinnon, Charles Johnson.
Charles Johnson.
Kyle Rudolph, of course, who was the main organizer out there.
That was in Sacramento?
No, it was Orange County.
Orange County.
Just outside Anaheim.
And so we can talk about that and where he's come, where Teddy Bridgewater has come, and where he's heading. And he's not going to be heading there if we don't find a left guard. Right guard has to be healthy. If it's Fusco, if it's not, if it's, Clemmings, David Yankee. I think that's the question mark for me. Where did that name go to?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. David Yankee. And we'll find out more and just keep picking through that story as things develop. But that was a big talker out of OTAs. We'll stay on that one. We got 4.5 questions coming up, too. Sam Ekstrom. Filling in for Ben Holson, we'll come up with 4 questions that Brian Murphy and I will attempt to get through.
You know, I had the benefit of having an entire weekend of events to come in and give me plenty of fodder for 4.5 questions. So a lot of juicy stuff. Prepare yourselves. It's going to get provocative.
It could. And there could be a pros and cons kind of thing if Murph and I can't decide to agree on anything. So I think that would... That'd be likely.
Blood will be spilled.
You never know. It could be.
Arm wrestling? How do you want to do?
I don't want to have to arm wrestle.
Okay.
I don't want to. I really don't.
Number one, I'm looking across here, and I really don't want to do that.
I know my limits, and I don't want to be taken down right here in front of everybody. So, look, that's not going to be fun. You can help Brian. And if you guys can win by pushing my arm, no.
My contribution would be like adding one finger to his hand.
Then what else? The Stanley Cup.
The big silver chalice.
They're not playing hockey, are they? They're still playing hockey. And
no.
Guess who's still there? The people that just keep sending us home. The Chicago Blackhawks find themselves back in the finals for the Stanley Cup against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is amazing. Versatile and fast. And we'll talk about that. Brian Murphy in charge of that one. Then we got some talkers. We have some fun ones coming up. And we want you to join the show anytime you want to. 651-989-9105. Anytime you want to join the show. But we're going to have a talker in there about our friend and our favorite talker, Adrian Peterson. And what would you do if you were his agent, if you were his lawyer, if you were his anyone that was that could be a voice of reason to Adrian Peterson right now? Because... Might just be me. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, Sam, but I think that he's mismanaged. And I think that there's a time and a place for what he needs to say. But really, for the most part, get out on the football field and do what you got to do on the football field. And let these other people that you pay handsomely, I'm sure, the big money, to take care of some of the decisions and some of the rhetoric and some of the administrative parts of you and what you're all about. Let them handle all that.
And put the tablet down.
Put the tablet down. No more Twitter. I mean, that's the first thing. And we'll talk about that. And we would want you to come in and join us on that conversation when we get to it. We got Jim Rich. We always have Jim Rich on every day. This is going to change, though. No, it's 5:15 still. And so we'll have Jim on from Fox 9. He is the ultimate sports chameleon. You put him in basketball, he blends right in. You put him in hockey, he blends right in. Football, baseball, he knows every sport and can talk it. Just start him off. Give him a question, he can go. And he will do just that. We'll bounce a few things off Jim. And then Mike Berardino. We'll have him on.
We love Mike.
Well, he's great. He's great.
He's grinding. He's grinding on that Twins beat.
He's good stuff. Mike's out in Beantown. I'm guessing he's instigating something out there, like maybe dumping some tea into the harbor. I'm sure he's wanting to recreate that scene or just Knowing Mike, he's just mad and dumping something in the harbor. I don't know.
He's going to be in a good. You know why he's going to be in a good mood? Because he got a rain out, and he got a rain out early in the day. Because the worst thing as a writer is to show up on a rainy night at the ballpark and not know when they're going to play.
Exactly.
And then at 10 o'clock they say, "Okay, we're going to play a doubleheader tomorrow." He got the word early. He's got a full off day in Boston.
Yeah.
He's hanging with Norman Clift.
I'm sure he is.
I'm telling you,
Norman Clift out at the bar. Well, the last time it rained out, if I recall right. I want to say it was maybe last year. He was in Chicago, and he was at the museum talking to us from the museum. And
of natural history? Or
no, I think it was like modern art because he was looking at a red plank that was a piece of art. It was called the Red Plank, and that became a story here. Because
hey, Mike is kind of a prick,
yes,
huh?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, Tori. Tori with two
eyes. This is her first rain out this year, so it must have been last year.
It was last year. I'm sure it was. So we'll talk with Mike. Here's a good one. Another talker. I've seen some of the lists. I don't know if I like what's going on with the list, but I like where Peter King has the Vikings in his power rankings, and we will talk about that in length because some of the teams and some of the placing, it's a head-scratcher, but the Vikings, I honestly do believe they're up in the top 10 myself. Top 10. We can go through that. And you are, as always, you're invited to join us. Brandon Warren, Cold Omaha, one of the staff writers here at 105 The Ticket. He's going to come in and talk about Aaron Thompson, right? The left-hander and the quirky left-hander at that. He's just an odd duck. And that's not me just saying that. That's Terry Ryan, everybody. He's an odd duck.
He's one of those misfits on this Twins team that no one thought was going to be successful, who has found a huge niche in this Twins bullpen that has really become a shutdown bullpen. He's a key cog in that. No one knew who this guy was here in the American League, and suddenly he's starring in high-leverage situations for Minnesota. It's a great story.
Unbelievable. He marches to the beat of his own drum, no question about it.
He's a lefty.
And he's a lefty. And there's something about that. People talk about that. Burt Be Home Blylevin, he always says the pitchers are a little bit off and that lefties are even more so. Don't understand why that would be. And is that supposed to be true?
Well, it's just
because it
their hats are always on crooked. you know, the ball moves differently. There's very few of them, you know, but they do seem to have a little bit of quirks. They're very much like goalies. So if you see a left-handed goalie, you're in for a trip.
Yeah. Well, I played another sport, and yes, kickers are weird. They're really weird. Punters too. Punters are weird. Snappers, they rule the world. Then we also have some Viking O-line. That's when we'll talk a little bit about the left guard. And then we've got more Twins talk. We'll give you a chance at the end of today's show to jump back on the Twins bandwagon and talk the good talk for once about this team, a team that's left us with 90 losses or more for four straight seasons. And we're talking, I mean, this is unbelievable. We're going to talk about how they're at the top of the American League. They lead the American League as of right now. If the playoffs started tomorrow, but they don't, we'd be right in there. We got some NBA finals coming up, too. Stanley Cup starting at about the same time. NBA finals start, what, Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Okay. So we'll walk through that. Sam Ekstrom leading the way on some of the NBA talk. And there'll be a Kevin Love tidbit in there, I'm sure, some Stephon Curry. And that'll be interesting. We have a nice segment there planned for you guys. Wouldn't want to miss it. Sillier Side of Sports. You thought the segment before that was good. Sillier Side of Sports, trust me, and I mean this, that's going to be good, followed by a true superstar to end the show. But that's kind of the rundown for today, and we hope that you can join us for most of that, if not all of it. So we're going to take a little break and come on back, and the talk will be Teddy Bridgewater and how he's doing and what he intends to come back and how to avoid the sophomore slump in the National Football League next.
Teddy, is it easy?
easier to be a leader on this team now that you no longer have that rookie label?
I believe so, because the guys are now, you know, kind of pushing you into that leadership role. You know, guys are, you know, I'm a young guy still on the team, but guys are pushing me forward, you know, to say something in the huddle or break the team down and break the offense down. And that just gives you that confidence in yourself, confidence in your leadership. And I've been extremely comfortable doing that so far.
I noticed that he was becoming more of a leader, and you can tell that this is more of his team as we continue to go. He's a lot more vocal with the guys as far as telling them where to go and what routes they should be running, and he has a better command of the offense as well.
Never were truer words spoken. I think that when it comes to jumping into a playbook and pouring yourself into what you do for a living, I don't know of anyone that's proving that he can do just that, other than Teddy Bridgewater. He certainly seems to be a sponge down there at Winter Park and trying to soak up as much of this as he possibly can. It takes several years for a quarterback to get that. And you know, that it's one thing to know the X's and O's. It's one thing to understand scheme and the schematics of you know, what you're reading out there when you look out into a defense. But it's leadership. It's a lot of that it factor. The it factor is special. That's what you want. You're looking for that guy that when he steps in the huddle, everyone shuts up on their own. You don't have to be told to shut up. The it factor, when he walks in, makes everyone shut up. And you throw the ball to somebody and they come back and they smile at you. They don't say, throw it to me again. They're just glad they got one. And that's what great quarterbacks do. They command that kind of respect. I think the Teddy Bridgewater, I don't know, Brian, you've spent some time with him. Brian Murphy joining us today in place of Ben Holson. Sam Ekstrom also on the show today producing the show. But you guys, do you think he's got the it factor?
Well, I think he has a sort of a relaxed confidence. And even as a rookie, he had that in his first training camp. Now, that he'd be the first to tell you that, you know, as much success as I had, he left a ton out on the field. I think he knows his ceiling is extremely high. But he's never been, he doesn't look like a guy that's overwhelmed by the moment or the situation that he was thrust into or the obvious position he's going to have going forward, which is the face of the franchise as the quarterback, as the general running the offense, but also carrying the franchise now that Peterson is sort of, you know, petering out a bit.
I think the best thing that happened to Teddy Bridgewater was that Peterson was not there last year to steal to maintain the identity of that team. Bridgewater was able to be the go-to guy last year. He didn't have to cede to Peterson's authority at all. He was the focal point of that offense for the majority of that season without AP in the mix. So now if AP does come back, Bridgewater's already established that will as a leader on this team, and he'll have a voice that can hopefully carry the offense. And I already see more confidence in him. I don't know about you, Brian, but he appears to be much more comfortable this year, like under the spotlight.
And I think he knows what his role is as an NFL quarterback. And I think as a rookie, you're just trying to, you know, put one foot in front of the other, not annoy the veterans, learn the playbook, pick up on the speed of things, and then you're thrust into week four. Now you're running the team. But you meant, Sam, you're right. There's a leadership vacuum on that offense because Peterson was gone, and he was able to slide into that with expectations. They were high, but they weren't. I don't think people were expecting, okay, Teddy's going to lead them to the playoffs right now. It's sort of, if Teddy can survive this and grow, he'll be better off for it. In a weird way, Peterson's absence, Castle's early injury, got him into the mix early and gave him, you know, reduced the learning curve.
No question. It forced the learning curve because, you know, Teddy had lost the job to Castle. I mean, Castle won that job, and he won it fair and square, and Teddy was very, very humble about his position and his role as the backup quarterback and having to sit behind Matt Castle for a while to live and learn how to play this game. And Norv Turner's system is not an easy one. Well, guess what? It was a great attitude, but he was suddenly forced right into the mix. I mean, we're going to find out just how good you are. It would have been nice to have had you tailored and custom-made for this without any bumps or bruises or getting your teeth knocked out because offensive linemen are going down and they're coming through like a sieve. But you're going to go in now. Castle's done and you're in. So then we had to have our rookie tested right there in front of our very eyes in his rookie season, and he held up to it. He did not fall victim to, you know, the deer in the headlights, and it's moving too fast. I think it was moving too fast in the beginning. He got flustered. He got to a point where I think he was so anxious he overthrew for a whole game. He took one game and just overthrew every receiver he was throwing to. Didn't matter what length of the pass. Then he settled down. And then the game slowed down. And then Norv and I think predominantly Norv and his son, the quarterback coach,
Scott,
I think they really dialed him in to what he could do already as a quarterback and then added to it each week because he took off. He did take off with all those injuries, too. And no Adrian Peterson, Sam, you're right. This is going to be a better thing for him if they can just get that wall rebuilt up front. And if the big timer comes back and with the right attitude.
And this too, Bridgewater went 6-6 as a starter last year, and he didn't start four games, and they lost three of them. So imagine if he starts all four of those games. You've got the Green Bay fiasco on Thursday night at Lambeau,
yep.
the game where Castle played terribly against New England at home, and then the Saints game where Bridgewater came in late, and they almost took him over at the end. So if Bridgewater plays a full year last year, we may be talking about what was maybe a 9-7 Vikings team, and we'd be even more optimistic about his trajectory.
I think what he set himself, the bar is high now. He's set himself up now to be examined as not just a guy coming in trying to find himself, but a guy that's going to have to lead this team to the playoffs. And don't forget, every defense and defensive coordinator out there, they've dissected him now, too. They're going to get a second crack at him, especially the divisional teams. He's going to see some more, you know, mixed up blitzes, exotic blitzes, more pressures. He's going to have to adjust to what they're going to throw at him a little bit more now. It's not just all about can he refine his downfield passes, because those were questions marks for a while too, some floating some ducks out there. But yes, he's now set himself up to be scrutinized harder, and he welcomes that.
He does. Here's the thing about Teddy, is that he knows he's got to build on what he's already learned. There's no question. I mean, he's not like one of the quarterbacks that gets the big front money. They come in, they do the very best they can, but they don't go into the film room. They're not the first there, last to leave. Teddy's very much that way. Not to mention, those guys can play the chess game with Teddy. They can line up different things, and they can change the defense, and they can do different things to make it look different for him, or throw him off, or take things away from him that he does well, and then throw the bad things that throws him off. That's fine. But he can counter. He can play that next move, too, because he also has another piece to the puzzle if Adrian comes back. That in itself, a running back, a big-time running back behind a quarterback like this, some extra targets down the field, and a guy like Mike Wall. The game changes for us to attack the opponents again, too, because of what we have now up front.
Think of what he may have in front of him. He may have Adrian Peterson and the threat of what Adrian Peterson can do and how that affects defenses. Mike Wallace and what he may be able to do, quote-unquote, take the top off of defense. And a healthy Kyle Rudolph, assuming he can stay healthy. These are three weapons that he didn't have for the majority of his tenure when he went 6-6. So let's see what he can do with a full plate.
I agree. I just think it's time for some of this talent pool to finally be assembled and play for a while. I mean, that's a tough thing. And Peter King released his power rankings and had the Minnesota Vikings at number 6. Questionable, some of the different things that were in front of that, but your calls are going to be taken if you want to fight the list as much as I want to fight this list of Peter King's. But he has us at number 6. The number again, 651-989-9105, if you want to call the show to give us your input. But number 6, I see us in the top 10 with the draft. With some of the other things that we've done in the last couple of years in the draft, certainly we have a talent pool that would rival anyone's. But then he's got some different ones up there. And the number 1, I think he's got...
Sam, read it off. Yeah, what's the top 10?
We got...
This is the Emperor, Peter King, of Sports Illustrated.
He really is. And the guy's normally very, very good at what he does. When it comes to power rankings, he's really very good. But this, trust me, just listen to this. Sam, read them off.
We've got Baltimore, number 1.
Okay, right there. Hold on. Number 1?
Number 1.
Okay, go ahead and call us. I don't care. Do you think they're number 1 or not? I don't think they're number 1. I just don't see it.
We have a call right now.
Go ahead. Radio Roulette. You can take it right now if you want to. Let's just pull it up. Who do we have here?
Yes, Warren from St. Paul.
Warren from St. Paul, give us everything you know in one phone call.
Well, I believe that the Vikings have made Zimmer moves this year. I think they were dealing with what he had left from the regime before. I think you're seeing that with some of the rookie free agents that I think are going to make a difference out there to begin with. And then I don't know if you brought it up much, but I think Matthews came over from Philadelphia. I believe because of what he's done in the past and with his background and football background and all that, I think he's going to make an impact on the team there. And has anybody brought up the Kendricks draft choice? Because it looks like he may have an injury issue. He had a pretty serious one in 2013 with his kidney. And with his size, I know Star they wanted him to be middle linebacker. But with a guy that size, most guys in the NFL don't go too long without having some significant injuries being that size.
Okay.
I'm wondering if that might have an effect.
Yep.
And the other guy you brought up was Rudolph. I think this Truitt kid that they're drafting out of Southern Illinois is just going to be outstanding, and don't be surprised if he comes in with an injury issue that Rudolph may have.
Okay, thank you very much.
On the team. Yep.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. We're on the power rankings, though. Yeah, if you want to call about the power rankings, that'd be great. Baltimore, number one. We don't think they're at number one. Yeah, some of the talent pool, some of the kids that we picked up in the last couple of years, certainly Pruitt's not going to move ahead of Rudolph. He's someone good to look at, though. It's an option. He's got to beat out Red Ellison. You know, we got Chase Ford. Those guys are established. I mean, let's not talk about that kid being the number one. And Matthews, just because his name is Matthews, it doesn't make him an impact player. He's a special team player. He's already been in the league for a while. He's a special team player, Warren. Okay. Not too much of an impact. But anyway, how much time do we have?
I think we should hit a break now.
Let's
we'll be back to the power rankings in a bit.
We can do it in a bit. We need to take a little break. We'll come back. We'll jump into those power rankings real quick and then jump right into the 4.5 questions that you people are expecting because you're creatures of habit. So we'll give you 4.5 questions at 4. We'll make it real quick through the rankings. And, again, call us if you want to. 651-989-9105. If you want to join in. Warren, we were talking about the power rankings. Time. We got 4.5 questions. We got some leftover work that we left on the back burner about Peter King's, his rankings, his NFL rankings, has the Minnesota Vikings, your Minnesota Vikings, ranked at number 6. We've already talked about the beginning of the very top of this list, Baltimore. He's got Baltimore at number 1. Normally a guy that's very accurate when it comes to lists and National Football League, he's just the guru. But go ahead, Sam. Continue on down. By the way, Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press, beat writer for the Vikings and the Twins, and anything else that moves, that picks up a ball or shoots a puck. Did I say that right?
It's kind of. It's a general assignment, as we call it in the business.
General assignment.
How about I read off numbers 2 through 5, and you guys tell me which one doesn't seem like they belong. Seattle, 2. Green Bay, 3. Kansas City, 4.
What?
Yeah, there you go.
New England, 5.
There you go. The warning flare just went up. I know the Chiefs are getting better. I get it. They had a good draft. The quarterback situation is still Alex Smith, right? I mean, he's a very conservative, he's an Andy Reid kind of quarterback. Meat and potatoes. Don't make mistakes.
Boiled dinner.
Give your team a chance to win. Don't make mistakes. Just don't throw the ball out of bounds and go back to the huddle. That's what it is. If you don't see anything, and we don't expect you to, throw the ball out of bounds, come back to the huddle, we'll call a running play. The Chiefs. Okay, then what?
New England, 5, without Brady for 4 games. He has them going 12 and, or no, pardon me, that's last year's record. It says 12-4.
Okay.
He says in his little capsule, Pats will win 11 or more games.
Sickening, but they will. I think they will.
And Brady's only serving two games, right? I mean, this is going to
be
negotiated
down. I think it'll come down. I really do. Even though Goodell has gone on record saying that he will not reduce that suspension.
That's okay, because Judge Doty or Harold Henderson, or Harold Henderson certainly won't do it, but Judge Doty may do it for him.
Doty would, and then we can take it to the Eighth Circuit Court again, I'm sure, and then back to Henderson, I'm sure. But I see it coming down. I see it coming down two games. That Wells report was not good enough to make anything stick. Certainly not a four-game suspension for deflating footballs. So, then we get the Vikings, right?
Vikings at 6. Do you want to hear what King says about them?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
This is quoting King now. This is reliant on so many things. Mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson showing up, number one.
Mm-hmm. That's big.
Finding a consistent pass rush is key, too, as is the continued maturity of Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
I like 2 out of 3 of those things. I mean, I think we got some of that pass rush identified with by the name of the Griffin. I think that he can get it done. And Robinson might be a bit of a stretch. I don't know what's going on there. He had a tough year last year. I think he knows it too. But I like Brian Robinson. I really do.
Well, he's being asked to do different things.
But Everson Griffin, though, I do like. 12 sacks. I thought he was dynamic.
Robeson is they're using Robeson to free up Griffin in a lot of ways on the line.
I agree.
He's not being relied on to bring down the quarterback as much as he is to
flush him into the backside.
Flush him in and seal off that left side.
Anthony Barr, though, a second year for Anthony Barr, certainly that's going to be great. Peterson is the thing that's clogging the churn right now, if you will. And then also Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think we have to worry too much about him trying to mature and trying to grow his game. I think that we provide him with the necessary things around him, being offensive line, he'll be just fine.
Here, Sam, the next sentence though is the money quote from King, I think.
Let's hear it.
I picked the Vikes because if you ask me for one rising team, if 2 or 3 vital things go right, I'm picking Minnesota. So what he's saying is, these guys are my surprise team. These are my...
That's basically right.
I put my faith in Mike Zimmer. I mean, it's June 1st, so, you know, take that. But
June
it's
1st.
Still, I mean, for him to say that, he's reading enough tea leaves into what's going on. If a lot of this stuff falls into place, the pieces do come in together, I think.
That's the one.
They're going to be an intriguing story. Everybody knows that this year. I mean...
They are. If 28 shows up again on the field, you know he's going to run hard. He will not run soft. I mean, that's just what he is. But the one thing you brought into that conversation was Mike Zimmer's name. And that's the key for me, too. We're one of the best coached teams, young teams, with a new coaching staff. We inherited one of the better new coaching staffs, too, I think, outside of all this new talent and everything that Richard Spielberg has put together for us. Great movie, right?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, of course.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, little lost ark there. I hope that we can find the Grail, the Holy Grail.
And not have our faces melt off.
Not melt off or open the box and find out that Adrian Peterson's not in it. But anyway, we got 4.5 questions. Shoot. Fire away. By the way, Philadelphia number 7. What?
Philly 7, Pittsburgh 8, Denver 9.
What?
Arizona 10.
I mean, that's a cluster going on there in Philadelphia right now with Chip Kelly. Who in the hell is even going to play quarterback? We don't even know.
Tebow.
Okay.
Stop.
You're probably right.
Stop.
I think Buffalo should be higher on this list, too, by the way.
It's another team that could really rise up the charts.
I think so, too.
Rex Ryan.
I think that could really be a devastating, formidable team to look at. 4.5 questions.
We'll stick with the NFL theme right off the bat. 3 writers at NFL.com recently put together top 10 lists of the NFL's top quarterbacks. Each of the 3 writers, Bucky Brooks, Dave Damashek, and Elliot Harrison, they put Aaron Rodgers as their consensus number 1 QB. And the guy's good, we know that, but he's only won 1 Super Bowl. Do you agree or disagree with Rodgers being the consensus top QB?
You want to shot at this?
Well,
one?
I didn't read it, so I'd like to see what their criteria. I mean, are they looking completely at the fundamentals? Are we looking at stats. We're looking at. I mean, give me a sense of how they skewed this.
It was a mixed bag of factors. It was the track record, trends in their career, supporting cast that they've had, age, everything taken into account.
Okay. With that being said, I don't know if there's been a better quarterback than Tom Brady when it comes to mixing and matching and people around him, everything, running backs and deflated footballs And but the receiving core is an ever-changing, a revolving door of wide receivers, coordinators, offensive coordinators. Everyone's been in and out since Tom Brady has been there with Belichick. Really, only he and Belichick have been the constant, the one thing that has been there through this whole dynasty has been those two. I don't know. I think that it's hard to outseed him. I understand Deflategate and the whole nine yards. I don't account for a little air being out of a football to take that greatness away from him.
I mean, four rings, six appearances, several versions of the offense and that team has turned over.
And has anyone had to deal with more change than Tom Brady?
No, and of course he had his knee blown out too, and that
was Castle's big day.
Yes, back in 08. So, career-threatening injury. I got to go with Brady all the way through.
Me too.
And if you're thinking of supporting cast, he really hasn't had a lot of offensive weapons except for the Moss year, when they went 16-0.
Yeah.
So he can do a lot when he gets a lot, and he can still do a lot when he has a little.
I agree.
That's a great way to
He has made so many players great. The Wes Welkers and the Julian Edelmans and just
Amendola and
Amendola was a cast off from Dallas.
Aaron Hernandez.
There's
Rob Gronkowski. And
he's made some. I don't know. I think Brady is absolutely brilliant, and you can say what you want to about Deflategate. That's not going to help his legacy much.
No.
But, Brian, you said it. Six Super Bowls he's been to. Two plays of those two lost Super Bowls are the difference makers. Two
once-in-a-lifetime type plays.
Fluke plays, two of them by the same team, the Giants, by the same quarterback, Eli Manning. He should have won six Super Bowls.
And the first one, they arguably should have been rolled by the Rams. I mean, they had no business in some ways winning that game. So, yeah, different casts, different circumstances.
Totally.
Over the course of, 15 years here?
About 15 years.
But, Rodgers is redefining the position, and I agree in some ways that the way his mobility, his decision-making, his ability to buy time, that is something that Brady does not have.
I think that he's probably the better quarterback when it comes to throwing.
Sure.
And when it comes to seeing things and intelligent and everything else, I think he's absolutely on. But to say consensus, probably not.
Yeah.
And things around him, he's always had the best of the best. Go ahead.
Number two, Dave Cameron published an article today on FanGraphs about the Twins and how they won't be able to sustain their current pace. He used some fancy sabermetrics charts. And here's a quote from the article. Pretty soon, he says, the Twins are likely going to go back to looking like the building for the future club that everyone expected. Cameron says that the projections have the Twins finishing at 81 wins, which puts them right at the 500 mark.
So he's going out on a limb.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, knock yourself out, dude. Talk about playing it safe and being on both sides of the fence. I mean, pick a side.
Right. So do you see the Twins finishing above or below the 500 mark?
I would have thought it would be a victory for them to split it and go 500. That would seem to me like a huge turnaround to me. A lot of the experts were saying that they'd be just a little better than they were last year with all the change and all the money that was passed off and new coaching staff and Torrey Hunter. And they were like saying that they might win 75 games. I'm like, good Lord. I mean, all this money for that kind of change, and I say close to 500, and maybe even a little bit above right now the way it looks. I mean, they're playing well under Molitor.
Yeah, I thought 75 to 80 wins was sort of the consensus among a lot of experts. 500 would have been a moral victory.
Absolutely.
I would not be shocked if they finished 500. I'm not going to rule out what Cameron's saying. I think there's some value to the data that he's producing, and the only reason I say that is because they have had such a diverse list of contributions, both offensively, pitching-wise, defense. A lot of things are breaking right for them. Over the course of 162 games, that generally doesn't happen. You need somebody to step up and be your ace of your staff and be on pace maybe to win 20 games. You need a 320 hitter. You need a 35 home run guy. I know they got some guys that are on pace for that, but a lot of these guys don't necessarily always project that out to be. And don't forget, we're 45 games into this thing, so maybe close to 50. The All-Star break, I think you might be able to make some bigger declarations. It feels good right now. They're doing a lot of good things right. It's entertaining ball. Enjoy it, but don't bank on October tickets yet.
Yeah, no question. But what I like is that no one is really, and we spoke about this earlier today before the show, is that no one is really doing anything exceptionally well. We don't have that 300 hitter. We don't have that ace.
that should have been Hughes, maybe still can be Hughes, but that leaves us room to grow. I mean, if Hughes finds himself, and some of these other people find him, Maurer's good for 320, if he comes back and plays that kind of baseball again. But we have that built in, and always with the thought that you can go back and get, you know, Buxton, Sano, some of these other guys, Alex Meyer, some nice things on the way up, too. I don't know. I mean, I think they haven't really reached that peak yet, and they were a building team, but they're finding out they're better than they thought they were.
They have a lot of guys who are doing a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's how they're winning as a team. They could be better than they are right now. That could go the other way, too.
Okay, we're running out of time this segment. Should we go to the word association, or should we do another full question? That's your call.
We'll do one more question then.
All right. Stanley Cup Finals begin Wednesday in Tampa. NBA Finals begin Thursday at Golden State's Oracle Arena in Oakland. If you could only watch one of the series, would you choose NBA or NHL?
For me, that's pretty easy. I'm just by nature a basketball fan. Over hockey. I grew up in Iowa. It's just where I'm from. We didn't have hockey at all in Iowa. High school, nothing was hockey. It was wrestling. It was basketball. Football, baseball, whatever the case. I'm an NBA guy. I really am. But, oh, my God, the Wild have made it good for me. I picked up on another sport in the last 3 years, and I love the Minnesota Wild and watching hockey up until they're out of it. I'm impressed with Chicago. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But Chicago is surprisingly –